Hey Tokers, this is Radical Russ. There's only one thing I love as much as fine Oregon Bud, and that's spicy food so hot it'll peel paint. Thanks to the generous sponsorship of HerbAgeDesigns.com, I'm putting both my true loves to the test to support the launch of Normal Show Live. It's the El Jefe Chicken Hot Wings Eating Contest, Friday, August 28th, here in Portland, and the contest benefits the American Red Cross, another favorite charity of mine. You can help. We're signing up pledges for the contest starting as low as 25 cents per wing, up to the 20 wings I'm pledging to eat. You can win, too. The top money entry and a randomly selected entry win HerbAge prizes and one of my Starfish Designs Gandalf-style pieces of glass art. Send in your entry to stash@normal.org with the subject Hot Wings Contest and tell me how much you'll pledge per wing, up to 20 wings. Also include your real name, age, and shipping address should you win the prize. Only entries from adults 18 and older will be accepted. Starfish Designs prizes will not be shipped to Idaho, Pennsylvania, or Indiana. It's Monday, August 24th, 2009, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. I'm your host, Radical Russ Belville. Produced and distributed by the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws in Washington, D.C., this is your normal daily audio stash, the growing truth about cannabis. Welcome to the most popular podcast regarding marijuana in all of America and all the world, featuring interviews with scientists, politicians, doctors, prohibition policy activists, regular cannabis consumers, musicians, and Normal's staff and Normal's board of directors, along with music and comedy no other podcast can offer. You can always find out more about our show at our website, stash.normal.org, and continue the education and conversation on our blog as well. We're ending marijuana prohibition with education, one listener at a time. The podcasting and blogging technology for the Normal Daily Audio Stash is provided by Red Aphid Interactive Media. For your professional web design needs, visit redaphid.com. Good day, Stashers, and welcome to the podcast. I've been away from the computer this weekend. I took my wife up to our friend Carrie's house in Astoria, Oregon. It was all part of a surprise celebration for her birthday. I had everything all planned for us to go to Astoria, have fun with the friends there, drive down the Oregon coast to Lincoln City, spend the night at the Chinook Winds Casino, and just have a good old-fashioned romantic time out with my wife. And then we looked at our front tire and realized that it was about to blow out. Yes, all that money that I'd saved up to go to the hotel and have a little fun playing some blackjack is now riding on my car. I had to buy some new tires there, and that's just the way it goes. But big thanks to Carrie for putting us up for the weekend when we couldn't go down to the hotel. And all in all, it was a good birthday for everyone. Well, it's almost time for the El Jefe Hot Wings Eating Contest, as you heard from the advertisement at the beginning of the stash. It's this Friday here in Portland, Oregon, and I'm being sponsored by folks who want to donate money for the upcoming Normal Show Live. Starting to accumulate some bills here. We've got our invoice from Dan Michaels for the voiceovers, and I'm having to get licensing from ASCAP and BMI so that we can play commercial music on the show. So we are having some expenses that need to be paid, and your pledges to the Hot Wings Eating Contest will help pay them. So far, I've got some donations from Stashers who've already pledged per wing. Brent in Kentucky pledged $2. Greg's got $1 on the table. Track Snack, Mr. Spoff, and Chris also put in $1. Tim, Larry, Same Old Wine, and David also have $1 in for the contest. Dennis put in 50 cents. Nugs and Nubs has got $2.50 per wing. And so far, the top pledger is Winder with $21 per wing. Now, I have guaranteed that I can eat up to 20 wings. At least I think I can. So if that $21 pledge comes in, that's $420 for Normal Show Live. You'll definitely get a special mention on the show for that kind of donation. It's not too late to make your pledge. Just send me an email to stash@normal.org with Hot Wings Contest as the subject and tell me how much per wing you're willing to pledge. I'll take as low as a quarter. That's only $5 that you'd have to pay if I eat all 20 wings. If I eat more than 20, you're not on the hook. You just 20 wings, that's all you're on the hook for this contest. Coming up this Friday, so don't delay. It's a normal shout-out. Well, we've got a special shout-out coming to my neck of the woods here in Oregon with the announcement of two new sub-chapters of the Behemoth Oregon Normal here in Portland. There's going to be a chapter on the North Coast, speaking of Astoria and Seaside and Tillamook area, and a chapter in Pendleton, Oregon, kind of north central Oregon, so that folks that enjoy coming to the Oregon Normal cardholder meetings don't have to drive all the way in Portland to do them. This idea of sub-chaptering is when people want to start a normal chapter, but they don't want to have to go through all the trouble of forming the nonprofit organization. Basically, a sub-chapter is just a remote location of an existing chapter. So, for example, Oregon Normal in Portland can have these remote locations in Bend or the North Coast or Pendleton. This is something that was pioneered by the folks in Michigan Normal who have probably a couple dozen sub-chapters by now that are just remote locations of the current Normal chapter. Now, there is a disadvantage, and that is that you are governed by the main chapter, so there is a little less autonomy than if you became your own nonprofit organization. If you're interested in the idea of sub-chaptering, just send me an email at stash@normal.org, and I'll tell you all about how to get started. Now, coming up on your Daily Audio Stash, we begin with your hemp headlines, including a bipartisan call in Washington State for support of that state's decriminalization bill. We take a look at a Forest Service worker who was killed in Oregon while engaged in a marijuana eradication operation. Rhode Island is set to promulgate rules for their nonprofit dispensaries. And the gossip site PopCrunch has a kind of demeaning way of looking at Megan Fox, the actress, and her stand on marijuana legalization. For this Monday, we always take a look at Normal, and we're going to take a look behind the headlines with Normal's Deputy Director Paul Armentano, who's had a series of posts on the Normal front page addressing how the media ignores good news studies about marijuana, this time about how marijuana may help cure cancer and how the lungs of marijuana smokers are no worse than those of non-smokers. Today is Message Monday for our Daily Toker Tunes, brought to you by MarijuanaMusicAwards.com. We feature a song called Life by Broken Poets. And for our second interview segment, Grassroots Activism, we're going to go back to the Seattle Hemp Fest and listen to a little behind the scenes with myself at the McWilliams stage. And backstage, I speak with Paul Von Hartman, an activist who's been working for the legalization of industrial hemp. All that and more coming up on your Normal Daily Audio Stash.
Hello, I'm Paul Stanford from the Hemp and Cannabis Foundation, or THCF. Medical marijuana is legal in 13 states today, and THCF has clinics in 8 of those states. Our doctors help qualified patients obtain an authorization for medical marijuana in their state. Patients are eligible for medical marijuana with a history of either severe chronic pain and or nausea, cancer, AIDS or HIV, hepatitis, glaucoma, seizure disorders like epilepsy, chronic muscle spasms such as in multiple sclerosis or asthma, neurodegenerative diseases such as Alzheimer's, and gastrointestinal disorders like IBS or Crohn's disease. If you or someone you know has one of these conditions, our doctors will help you obtain a permit for medical marijuana. THCF Medical Clinics has offices in Washington State, Oregon, California, Colorado, Hawaii, Nevada, Montana, and now Michigan. Call 1-800-723-0188 or go to the web at hemp.org or 1-800-723-0188.
Now it's time to take a look at the latest stories about marijuana from news organizations across America and around the world in our Normal Daily Audio Stash, Hemp Headlines. Democratic State Senator, former Republican State Representative, call for marijuana decriminalization in Washington State. From the Seattle Times. Once again, the Seattle Hemp Fest drew tens of thousands to parks along the waterfront this weekend. In its mission statement, the all-volunteer organization that produces the event says, quote, "The public is better served when citizens and public officials work cooperatively in order to successfully accomplish common goals," end quote. We agree. That is why we, as a Democratic state senator and former Republican state representative, support State Senate Bill 5615. This bill would reclassify adult possession of marijuana from a crime carrying a mandatory day in jail to a civil infraction imposing a $100 penalty payable by mail. The bill was voted out of committee with a bipartisan do-pass recommendation and will be considered by the legislature in 2010. The bill makes a lot of sense, especially in this time of severely strapped budgets. Our state Office of Financial Management reported annual savings of $16 million and $1 million in new revenue if SB 5615 passes. Of that $1 million, $590,000 would be earmarked for the Washington State Criminal Justice Treatment Account to increase support of our underfunded drug treatment and drug prevention services. Senator Jean Cole Wells, Democrat of Seattle, and former State Representative Toby Nixon, Republican of Kirkland. What? Two politicians are mentioning HempFest in their opening to support marijuana decriminalization? I thought all those tie-dyes on stage turned those kind of people off. Still, decriminalization must be just an incremental step toward full legalization. With decrim, you're just legalizing the end consumer, but not the producer and distributor of the marijuana. While law enforcement and court resources may be saved from no longer busting personal use, there will still be raids on those who grow and sell, which still keeps the prices high, which still keeps the Mexican cartels in business, which still promotes clandestine grows on public land, and still promotes violence. Forest Service employee's death during unusually active illegal marijuana grow season in Oregon. From the Oregonian. LeGrand. The accidental death of a U.S. Forest Service worker last week in the Monument Rock Wilderness underscores the seriousness of an unusually active marijuana growing season across Oregon this summer. Stephen A. Updegrove, age 52, died Thursday when he was hit by a falling snag while helping the Baker County Narcotics Enforcement Team eradicate 2,156 marijuana plants. The same day, Baker County authorities took down a marijuana garden with 12,023 plants about 3 miles away, Baker County Sheriff Mitch Southwick said Friday. Quote, "That makes 27,000 plants in Baker County this year," end quote, in four raids, the sheriff said, estimating the street value at maturity of each plant at as much as $3,500. Statewide, law enforcement officers have shut down roughly 80 marijuana gardens so far this summer, said Harney County Sheriff Dave Glirup of Burns. Mexican drug gangs are suspected to be behind the big operations. In other Oregon news, the vineyards of Oregon are bursting with flavorful grapes this season as the state pioneers organic winemaking and eco-friendly production. The microbreweries of Oregon make the state a beer lover's paradise. Last time I checked, no Mexican cartels were employing illegal immigrants to set up secret vineyards or microbrews in our national forests. Rhode Island moving forward with dispensary regulations. From the Providence Journal, Providence, Rhode Island. The Rhode Island Department of Health is moving forward with plans to create the state's first medical marijuana clinic where patients who use the drug for medicinal purposes can legally purchase it. Compassion centers are to be operated as independent nonprofit entities overseen by boards or principal officers to be regulated by the health department, much like a hospital or a nursing home. The state will not play a role in the day-to-day operations, but it will check to ensure that protocol is followed. Centers must have, quote, "a fully operational security alarm system," end quote, with marijuana to be stored in locked areas within the clinics, according to the regulations. If clinics elect to grow marijuana at a second site, that location, too, must be equipped with proper security. Staff and board members may not have felony drug convictions and must undergo background checks to be conducted by the Attorney General's Office. They must also participate in training sessions at the facility. This will make 4 states in which the buying and selling of marijuana is allowed by the state. Rhode Island and New Mexico have compassion center language with state controls and a very limited number, while California and Colorado both tolerate the fast-growing number of dispensaries operated in those states. As I looked through the comments, I noticed one that asserted that the Rhode Island Compassion Center would be broken into all the time. This is where the prohibition of marijuana for the healthy endangers the access for the sick. Dispensaries and compassion centers get robbed because of the great profit in prohibition and massive demand from non-medical users with no other access. Then the public gets stories on their news about the violence associated with a dispensary or a compassion center and attributes that to allowing medical access, rather than where it belongs, on the prohibition. Medical marijuana is a wonderful step, but it's just a step. We must legalize marijuana for all its users, or patients will always suffer from high prices, restricted access, and the danger of theft and violence. PopCrunch.com covers Megan Fox's pro-legalization stance as, quote, "too pretty to be so dumb," end quote. From PopCrunch.com. Megan tells the July issue of Britain's GQ magazine, quote, "I can't tell you how much bullshit I've been through because I will openly say that I smoke weed. People look at it like it's this crazy, hippie, fucked up thing to do. And it's not. I hope they legalize it," end quote. Seriously? This girl is far too pretty to be so dumb. What a waste of a nice rack. Megan went on to slam U.S. officials for not taking action in favor of legalizing weed sooner, calling their war on drugs, quote, "all propaganda," end quote. She's obviously never lived in a community destroyed by drugs. Wow, I've read a lot of these celebrity gossip rags when the latest star gets outed as a cannabis consumer, and usually the tone of the response is one of giggles and smirks. Pop Crunch, on the other hand, goes right into the reefer madness on this one, and not to mention a little bit of sexism. As far as I'm concerned, Ms. Fox is quite intelligent, and nothing about her is wasted.
If you want to win people over, you can't just drone on like Ben Stein. You've got to have a little more showmanship. Here. Watch.
Normal National Conference 2009. Yes, We Cannabis. The National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws is proud to invite you to our 38th Annual National Conference to be held Thursday, September 24th through Saturday, September 26th, 2009 in San Francisco, California at the Grand Hyatt Hotel.
The war on drugs has been an utter failure. And I think that we need to rethink and decriminalize our marijuana laws.
President Obama was right in 2004, and 5 years later, the American people agree, as support for legalization tops 50% in some polls, and overwhelming majorities support both medical marijuana and decriminalization, the people are saying, yes, we cannabis.
I think it's time for debate, and I think that we ought to study very carefully on what other countries are doing that have legalized marijuana.
At our 38th annual conference, you'll learn all the facts you need in the debate to legalize marijuana. Thursday is devoted entirely to medical cannabis with experts in medicine, law, and business who practice in medical marijuana states. Friday and Saturday, you'll learn about the politics, strategy, and social science of legalization at the national and grassroots level, with a special focus on Normal's local chapters.
As regards to legalization, it's not in the president's vocabulary and it's not in mine.
We're working hard to make sure legalization is in the drug czar's vocabulary, and we're celebrating the successes of 13 medical marijuana states, 13 decrim states, and more bills introduced concerning marijuana law reform than ever before, including 3 bills at the federal level. Thursday, we present the High Times Normal Activist Awards. Friday is a special invitation-only party for Normal chapter leaders, and Saturday is the famous Normal fundraising party.
Whether legalizing marijuana would improve the economy and job creation, I don't know what this says about the online audience. The answer is no, I don't think that is a good strategy.
There's nothing funny about legalization, Mr. President, or waiting until the last minute to book your trip to NormalCon 2009. Early bird registration rates apply until August. Registration, sponsorships, and vending information is available at norml.org or by calling 888-67-NORMAL. NormalCon 2009, Yes We Cannabis, September 24th through 26th, 2009, in San Francisco, California. For almost 40 years, Normal has been the place to go for the latest studies and news on marijuana science, policy, and activism. For over a decade, one man at Normal has written and reviewed more studies and news stories regarding marijuana than almost anyone on the planet. First as senior policy analyst and now as deputy director, Normal's Paul Armentano has written for major newspapers, academic journals, and magazines on the subject of cannabis, and is frequently requested as an expert witness in the courtroom. His knowledge and experience are an amazing asset to the cannabis community. Available to you now in a segment we call Behind the Headlines with Paul Armentano. Joining us here on Monday, we always like to get the Normal facts from one of the best informed drug policy reformers on the planet, Normal's own Paul Armentano. Welcome back to the show, Paul.
Good to be here, Russ.
You know, you had a series of posts that we featured up on the Normal blog and the Normal main page that, you know, just it was kind of interesting that the three of them came back to back to back and they all kind of addressed the same issue. And that has to do with the studies that come out that show marijuana has these amazing medical properties. And yet when they're good stories about marijuana never get any sort of play in the mainstream media. We had a story on marijuana and head and neck cancer, marijuana and prostate cancer, and marijuana and lung function. And I thought your take on this was really, really a good take on this. And maybe we should share that with our listeners.
Well, sure. You know, this has been a topic that has been vexing to me for many years. A couple of years ago, or maybe it was even last year at the Normal Conference, Bruce Merkin, yourself, and me, we discussed this issue in depth. We all gave presentations talking about why the media seems to ignore these scientific studies that really refute the claims of the federal government regarding the alleged harms of marijuana. And you see this again and again and again. And you're right, just in the past 7 to 10 days, we've had three major studies come out. One study showed that people that had a lifetime history of smoking marijuana had a reduced risk of cancers of the head and neck. That was followed by a report discovering that individuals that smoked marijuana did not have any difference in lung function compared to individuals that didn't smoke marijuana. And then just a couple days ago, Reuters ran with a headline reporting that cannabis-like compounds can halt the spread of prostate cancer and can kill tumors associated with prostate cancer in animals. Now, Reuters, what is a major news wire, they did carry that story. They didn't report on it very well, but they actually did pick up on that story. The other two stories haven't been picked up in any mainstream media outlets, despite the fact that I have personally contacted several writers and commentators from said mainstream outlets who have all indicated for one reason or another that this isn't considered news. But at the same time, you're correct. Anytime a study comes out purporting to show dangers of marijuana, and just recently there was a very widely covered report that actually tried to allege that marijuana does promote the growth of cancer based on a test that was done using DNA and marijuana smoke and a petri dish. That study got headlines all over the globe, but much stronger studies studies actually looking at animals or actually looking at lifetime use of marijuana in humans that find just the opposite results seem to go uncovered. It's really unfortunate.
Yeah, and one of the things that I found as a common theme in some of these stories are the remarks of the researchers that say, well, you know, this looks very promising, but we need to do a whole bunch more studies on this before it can be released.
Well, that was really troubling. That appeared in the Reuters story. Here we had a team of investigators from Spain who had what they did and what wasn't reported by the Reuters study. The Reuters study implied that these researchers were taking compounds from marijuana and testing them to see if they had anti-cancer properties. That's actually not what the researchers did. What the researchers did was, knowing that compounds in marijuana have anti-cancer properties, because that's been established now for more than 3 decades, what they did was they tried to synthesize certain compounds in marijuana, create these compounds in a lab, and tweak them in such a way that they would not cause any psychoactivity, but still maintain their anti-cancer properties. So they took these chemicals that they created in a lab, abandoning the chemicals that actually occur naturally in the plant, and they tested these in a petri dish, they tested these in animals, and they found that, sure enough, these agonists that they created seem to have some of the same anti-cancer properties as the natural plant. And then, of course, they went to warn everyone and said, by no means should people look at this research and assume that actually using marijuana would have anti-cancer activity. They seem to feel obligated to make those sort of statements in the mainstream media, and the mainstream media appears to feel obligated to print them. The irony, of course, is just a week earlier, we had a study showing that adults who smoked marijuana, in some cases for 20 years, had lower incidences of head and neck cancer compared to people that didn't smoke anything. So, on the one hand, you have scientists studying the anti-cancer properties of marijuana, telling people not to use marijuana because it could potentially be dangerous. At the same time, you have investigators publishing science showing that adults who use marijuana over the long term have a reduced risk of cancer, but nobody can talk about that.
Yeah, it seems to me as if they're saying, well, it looks like marijuana might be promising to cure cancer, but don't smoke it. You might get high.
Yes, they are saying that. And in fact, that's specifically why the researchers in this lab were trying to manipulate these compounds in marijuana to remove the high. Because, God forbid, somebody suffering from a potentially terminal disease might feel any sense of euphoria. You know, it's been remarkable to me, and it is so frustrating when you read these comments from these investigators saying that we think there's still going to be 5, potentially 10 years worth of research down the road before we could bring alternative treatments to market, when in fact the federal government in this country alone has been aware that marijuana has these anti-tumor and anti-cancer properties for more than 30 years. The Medical College of Virginia, a research team there, documented these effects in mice in 1974. The study was published in 1975. Yet here we are, 34 years later, and we've advanced from studying the anti-cancer properties of marijuana in rats to now trying to study them in petri dishes? That's not how the scientific process works. If this was any other drug, you would go from petri dishes to replicating those findings in animals to then moving to do clinical trials in humans. But because this is marijuana, we've actually reverted from animal trials all the way to petri dishes over the course of 35 years. It's totally insane.
Yeah, it reminds me of the old Jimmy Fallon joke on Saturday Night Live back in the 90s, I believe it was, when he said, researchers are working on a new form of marijuana that will help medically without getting the user high, leading medical marijuana patients to say, thank you? I mean, it's just ridiculous. And in this other story, the one about lung function, I also thought was quite interesting as they were comparing people, you know, usually it's the story of comparing marijuana smoking to tobacco smoking, but in this one, they were comparing it to people who don't smoke at all, right?
They actually looked at people who didn't smoke at all and tobacco smoking.
Okay.
And what they found was that the effects on lung function in the groups that just smoked marijuana were in many ways the opposite of the effects that they reported in the groups that smoked tobacco. And as I noted earlier, the effects on lung function for the marijuana-only group were very similar to their lungs were quite similar on almost every measurement that this team assessed as compared to the group that didn't smoke tobacco or marijuana.
It makes you feel a little cynical, makes you feel a little like there's some sort of grand conspiracy to keep the truth away from the people. I hate to think in conspiracy terms, but it just more and more of these stories keep coming out and they just keep getting ignored. And I just can't help but think that. Before we let you go, Paul, any final thoughts on the issue?
Well, I think it is really important for people when they're made aware of this science, whether they're made aware of it through the normal blog or the normal press release, whatever, to go to their local paper and contact a news editor there. Contact a science or a health writer there and forward this information to them. It is much more likely that you are going to get a newspaper to cover a story it otherwise may not have if the reporter or if the editor is being approached by someone locally. It's all well and good for a group like Normal to go out with a press release to hundreds, if not thousands, of media outlets. But by the same time, the editors, the reporters at those outlets are well aware that they are one of any number of newspapers that are being pitched the same story. But it is much different when an individual is approaching writers and editors at their local papers and saying, I've got a study, I think you should cover it, this is why, and this could be a potential local hook. And I think many people underestimate the influence they can have getting their editors and getting their reporters to pay attention to these sort of stories if they're being approached directly by someone in their own community. So I mean that seriously. If you don't like the way the news is being reported in your local paper, help make the news. Pick up the phone, be polite, call an editor, call a reporter, forward them the information, ask them to review it, and then give you a call back, and then discuss why this story should be relevant in that paper.
Well, there you go, folks. There's your homework assignment. A lot of people talk about not being able to get involved. They've got too much to do at work, or they've got a family to worry about, or they don't have the money or time. Well, this is something you can do. It's pretty simple. Just make the call to your local newspaper, your local TV news or radio station, whatever it might be, and get the information. It's all at blog.normal.org. You can find Paul's stories on this stuff. It's got links to all the actual studies as well. And let's make a difference here. Paul, thanks for joining us here on The Stash, and we'll be in touch again soon.
Great to be here, Russ. Talk to you soon.
There were 765,000 marijuana arrests in 2007. That's not for dealers and kingpins. No, that's just for simple possession. Multiply that by the average cost of each arrest, and what have you got? $7.6 billion spent on people just smoking some pot. That's enough money to buy health insurance for every child that needs it. That's enough cash to adopt every stray dog and enough left over to feed it. Mr. Obama, I kinda wrote this song for you. You got my vote for change, now let's see what you can do.
Visit norml.org today. The battle to end adult marijuana prohibition can sometimes seem endlessly frustrating and impossible to overcome. One way we bond as a community and draw strength to continue is by rejuvenating our spirit through art and music. The Marijuana Music Awards exist to recognize those sonic artists in all genres of music who feature a ganja-friendly message to motivate and inspire all the cannabis community. Our Daily Toker Tunes, brought to you by MarijuanaMusicAwards.com, feature the finest in blues, rock, jazz, hip-hop, rap, reggae, country, bluegrass, and dance music to enhance that 420 feeling and refresh all you stashers for another day on the front lines of the drug war. Enjoy this cut from MarijuanaMusicAwards.com and visit our blog at stash.normal.org to learn how you can vote for your favorites and enter your toker tunes in the 2009 Marijuana Music Awards. For Message Monday, we're listening to Life from the Broken Poets from Texas. The Broken Poets, who performed at the 2008 Global MMA, have great showmanship as well as good music. The band was created over 10 years ago, and they've had success throughout their history. The Broken Poets have opened for many large acts and events. They have been featured in several magazines and won numerous contests, including 2008 Battle of the Bands. The Broken Poets combine guitar and bass with original flows to create unique music. Their lyrics explore politics, drug use, and everyday life. For more about the band, check out myspace.com/thebrokenpoets with a Z. And registered stashers, you can get an MP3 download of this tune. It's Life by The Broken Poets.
Ain't a box of chocolates gum. That's why people smoke weed and take bumps and drink way too damn much and get drunk and do it all over again first of the month. Rolling the dice, never getting it twice. Every move that we make, we are paying the price. Two sides of the coin that be up in the air. Whenever it hits ground, it never seems fair. There, heads and tails can't make sense of it. I can sit on toilet bowls and not give a shit. Bored of a child, my state of a teen. Wondering what happened to a teenage dream. This is your life, living it while you can. Nobody gets a second chance, not a woman, a man. Got a plan, move ahead, if not wait till you're dead. Not everybody lives their dream that's inside of their head, yeah.
You was raised with the light shut off and nothing ever came easy in life. Whether it was watching your mother get beat or your father smoking the pipe. So you grew up thinking you knew everything was right. Started at a young age selling the cane, getting into fierce fights in school, trying to make a name. Cause you never wanted to see the days again. I'm your conscience, so I have a secret to tell you, my friend. Right before the judge gave you 8 to 10, now you're behind bars in a cage for grown man trying to survive. It's either you or them, take a life or else get an education.
This is your life, living it while you can. Nobody gets a second chance, not a woman or man. Get a plan, move ahead, if not wait till you're dead. Not everybody lives a dream that's inside of their head, yeah.
I'm already being with most folks trying to get with no sweat. I do things on this regret, stay bent. Just like a curve in the road, my resolution for 2007 to stay close. Spin the globe, see your skills won't be shown. No matter what country you point to show, it's been known ever since the days are old. We're shining harder than a diamond and more solid than gold. And if we fold, I ain't gonna sit and be bluffing. I'm spitting harder than a tooth. That's why I'm the star, cussing next to nothing. Tired of being labeled a loser on the dark side, the Eddie and the Cruisers.
This is your life, living it while you can. Nobody gets a second chance, not a woman or man. Get a plan, move ahead, if not wait till you're dead. Not everybody lives a dream that's inside of their head, yeah.
Come on, man.
Hell no, man.
You said do it,
man. I just can't do it, man.
You just hold too much fight, man. Come on, that's enough, man.
I'm Alan St. Pierre, Executive Director of Normal. Have you heard about the new super pot that's supposedly 20 times more potent than your father's Woodstock weed? Don't believe the hype. Marijuana's THC potency has always varied. even in the 60s and 70s. And the drug czar's numbers are full of, well, exaggerations. While no intoxicant is harmless, cannabis is non-toxic and far safer than alcohol. No matter how much you smoke, of whatever potency, you cannot die of a marijuana overdose. Potency is irrelevant anyway. More potent pot just means you smoke less of it, meaning less harmful smoke in your lungs. This is a prime example of harm reduction in action. Besides, the government already allows the prescription of THC pills. Its commercial brand name is Marinol, and it's 100% potent. Meanwhile, the federal government won't allow dying people to use natural marijuana, no matter what the potency. Does this make sense to you? Learn the facts about pot. Visit NORML.org today.
NORML, unlike any other marijuana or drug law reform organization, is built from the ground up by grassroots activists who are peaceably assembling to petition our government for a redress of our grievances, specifically regarding our inalienable right to the pursuit of happiness through the use of cannabis for medical, social, and personal reasons. We are the Marijuana Smokers Lobby, and we aren't just anti-prohibition, we are pro-marijuana. Every Monday, we take some time to talk to the citizens in local NORML chapters across the country and around the world, as well as others who are working to make a difference in the fight to end adult marijuana prohibition in this segment we call Grassroots Activism.
All right, we're backstage at the McWilliam stage, hanging loose with the family. Cousin Kenny's here, Pimpin' Steve.
Pimpin's in the house, young family. You know how we rest.
Yeah, Pimpin's in the house.
Holla at your boy, young family.
Yo, holla.
Holla, G. And and Junior's in the house, too.
What's up, Big Diggity? How we doing?
We're backstage here in the private hospitality lounge at the McWilliam stage here at Seattle Hemp Fest. I've got a speaking engagement here in approximately X minutes, where X is less than 15 or something like that. But we'll be going on up. Pimpin's here to... We're doing a Morris Day in the Time sort of thing here. Pimpin's going to come out with the pipe and just hold it on stage while I'm talking.
I'm gonna Vanna White that bitch, you know what I'm saying?
I'm gonna Vanna White that, that's right. And it's Starfish Designs, we're promoting Starfish Designs, gotta represent. So. Yeah, Junior's giving lessons here on proper hand model technique. Oh, it's just too much fun at Hemp Fest. Wish you could be here.
Program NORML Show Live. Well, you can call in, you can ask questions of the experts, you can make your opinion known. I'm sponsored by Starfish Designs, a fine glass blower out of Bend, Oregon. My friend Pip and Steve here showing you a little bit of their thing called the Gandalf. Talk to me if you want to order one of those. Now, I ain't got a lot of time, so I just want to tell you a few little stories here about marijuana prohibition, because we all sit around, we like to get high, most of us, we never have a problem. Most of the time, most of us never get busted. We go through our lives and we think it's all cool. Well, let me tell you what the problem is with marijuana prohibition. There is this congressman, this representative in Georgia, okay? I get these emails from people, and I say, I want you to write your representative and tell them you want to legalize it. And when they answer you, send it to me, and I'll publish it. So our guy writes this letter, says, Dear Congressman, Honorable so-and-so, I would really appreciate it if you legalized marijuana. Very polite, very cool letter, right? The letter he gets back from this Georgia representative, Tommy Benton, says, and I quote, I think we ought to just go back to caning people who use marijuana like they do in Singapore and maybe execute dealers. That would solve the problem. They don't have much of a drug problem there. We have got elected officials suggesting that we should be bent over an A-frame and whipped with a rattan cane. This cane ain't in Singapore. This ain't like, you know, wrap across the knuckles with a ruler, people. We're talking about a cane that's soaked in water at a force of 90 kilograms at 160 kilometers per hour against your bare ass 4 to 24 strokes. 3-inch deep lacerations that take 12 months to heal. That's what he thinks we ought to do to marijuana smokers. What do you think of that? Tell you another story. Kenny, in Grand Valley State, Michigan, named Derek Cobb, strangely enough. But since he's in Michigan, he has a dime bag now and then. He helps his friends get a dime bag now and then. The West Valley Enforcement Team there in Michigan decided that they would go pay Derek Cobb a visit. They come to his sliding glass door in the middle of the night, pull up a flashlight, and as he goes to shield his eyes from the flashlight, Deputy Dodd, pow, right into the chest.
I don't. I had to get
a guy sitting in his college apartment smoking a little weed.
I think I woke up with it.
Answers his own back door in the middle of the night and gets shot in the chest by police for marijuana. What do you think of that?
There's a first aid.
And so, I tell these stories, right? And then there's a lot of people who are starting to say, well, I don't smoke marijuana, so I don't really worry about that. You knew it was illegal. You should have never done it. Me, me, me. A little moralist that want to tell us how to live our lives. So here's the story I tell them. Once upon a time, there's this guy in Berwyn Heights, Maryland. He lives a middle-class life. He never has smoked marijuana, never seen marijuana in his life. Meanwhile, in that same town, there's a conspiracy going on with these guys who work at the UPS. One's on the West Coast, one's in Maryland. He ships big boxes of weed across to fake addresses, whatever. His guy picks it up before he delivers it. That's how they get their weed across. Well, the guy on the East Coast messes up one day, forgets to grab the 32-pound box of weed, and it gets delivered to Mr. Middle Class Guy's doorstep. Now, the cops are sitting out there, they've got it all staked out, they're ready to catch the big drug dealer with his 32-pound box of weed, so they're sticking it out, and then they see this old lady come up, and then she picks up the box and takes it into the house. Aha! We've got her! We've got enough to get a warrant! They get the warrant, they bust the door down, two black Labrador retrievers approach them, pow! Pow! First black lab, dead! Second black lab, runs off, they chase after the dog, blam! Blam! In the back! To kill this dog. Now, this man gets arrested for the 32-pound box of weed, and the woman, his mother-in-law, they are handcuffed and sat in the pools of their dog's blood while they work out the arrest and the warrants. Now, here's the kicker. This Mr. Middle Class Guy, the mayor of the town. No lie, the mayor of the town, Shy Calvo, Berwyn Heights, Maryland. So when you think of the stories and people think, oh, legalized marijuana should be a bunch of stoner. Bullshit. This is civil rights. It's human rights. There's no right for the police or the authorities to be inflicting force against us for using a plant that the founding fathers used. That's all I got to say. Radical Rush, check out normal.org.
Backstage here at the McWilliams stage, just got done speaking, and the man who spoke before me is Paul, and I didn't get the rest of your name or your title or anything. We're just kind of going off the cuff here, so if you'd introduce yourself and just kind of tell folks what you were talking about up there on stage.
Sure, my name is Paul Von Hartman. I am a cannabis scholar and have been teaching people about cannabis and learning about cannabis for the past 17 years. One of the founding members of the Cannabis College in Amsterdam and Green Prisoners Release. I do research and attempts to understand the significance of cannabis within our environmental, economic, and social structures so that we can get past this absurd prohibition of the world's most useful, nutritious, potentially abundant, evenly distributed agricultural resource, and recognize the real value of it in the context of the crises we face in the 21st century.
We were talking about that crisis, and your Blog Talk Radio show, I think the hook for that really is going to sink into people that are worried about this environmental collapse.
Sure. I tell people that we have nothing to fear but the atmosphere itself. Because increasing UVB radiation is broiling the planet at the same time that the atmosphere is warming and the climate is being destabilized. Cannabis produces 58 monoterpenes that go up into the atmosphere and reflect solar radiation away from the planet and serve as the seed for cloud formation. And the clouds that form around monoterpenes are brighter and last longer than normal clouds.
So cannabis is like nature's sunscreen.
Exactly.
It's the planet's sunscreen.
Exactly.
Sunscreen.
And at the same time, cannabis is the only crop that produces food and fuel from the same harvest.
Yeah.
Seeds go over there to be made into food, and the stalks go that way to be made into fuel. And so the argument against biofuels that says, well, if you grow for biofuels, you're inducing food insecurity, well, that's
right.
just plainly not true.
Right.
And cannabis is the one resource that makes that not true. In fact, cannabis is so nutritious that if cannabis and man were the only two species living on this planet, we'd still have all the nutritional resources we need to survive. And you can't say that about any other species, either plant or animal.
No, I've always been of the opinion that there's a sort of a co-evolution going on there, a synergy between humans and cannabis that, you know, plants, for example, daisies, let's say, like to be yellow because it attracts bees because it makes more daisies. And I think that's what cannabis does, is it attracts humans because it makes more cannabis.
Oh, absolutely. And it's such an easy plant to grow that the first humanoids, the first societies, the first nomadic tribes of people scattered hemp seed on their migratory routes because they knew that when they came back, they'd have food, shelter, and fuel, and everything they needed. It was the first plant that man cultivated, and in fact, it is so far beyond legal or illegal. It's essential. It's essential nutritionally, and it's essential in order for us to avoid the synergistic collapse of environment, economics, and social structures. And if time is the limiting factor in the equation of survival, then every planting season that passes is something that's precious that we can't make again. And we need to get real about this and decide whether we want to avoid extinction or not.
Yeah, it's just going to become a point where it doesn't matter whether they want to make it legal or not. There will be not much survival choice.
Right. And the question is, how bad do things have to get before all solutions are considered?
Yeah. Now, I think it would go without saying that probably some of your outfit is hemp.
Oh.
Your clothing.
Yes, actually, my shirt is made from hemp. And this vest is actually made in Nepal. I don't believe it's made from hemp, but it has a wonderful image of the whole plant on the back of it. And I teach people about the whole plant from the roots all the way up to the tip top of the colon, and teach people that respect for cannabis, respect for nature is a spiritual thing. And if you want to be protected under federal law, then start your own ministry and teach people to start their own ministries and reclaim our freedom of religion, because the freedom to form every herb-bearing seed is the first test of religious freedom.
Well said. And Paul, tell folks the name of your show and how they can catch it if they want to learn more about what you're saying.
Well, you can Google Global Broiling, and it'll take you to my blog. Or you can go to YouTube and do a search for Project Peace and Cannabis, or Project Peace and Hemp, and it'll take you to the 8 films that I have on YouTube, short films. And then to tune into my Blog Talk Radio program, you can go to Blog Talk Radio and just do a search for cannabis and global and climate change. And you'll find me.
All right. Well, Paul, thanks for joining us here on the Daily Audio Stash. And the bands are starting up again here, so we just wrapped up in time. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Thank you for downloading the Normal Daily Audio Stash, the growing truth about cannabis. We are produced by the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws in Washington, D.C. Our executive producer is Alan St. Pierre. Our deputy director is Paul Armentano. Our webmaster is Brian Judy. And web production is provided by Red Aphid Interactive Media. As always, you can catch up on the latest information about marijuana at www.normal.org. And you can interact and download from our Audio Stash blog at stash.normal.org. For everyone here at Normal, I'm your host, Radical Russ Belville, hoping all your harvests are bountiful and your encounters with law enforcement are non-existent.
We leave you today with the reminder that it's only 12 days and counting till the debut of Normal Show Live on Saturday, September 5th, 2009, over the Labor Day weekend, 9 p.m. Eastern Time, 6 p.m. Pacific Time. You'll be able to hear the show over the internet at live.normal.org or at our Blog Talk Radio site, blogtalkradio.com/normal. You'll be hearing from Toby Greer, the mixed martial artist who's fighting the California State Athletic Commission to be able to fight even though he tests positive for his legal use of medical marijuana. Cannabis Carry will be on hand reading the news segments and will have all sorts of fun and music that you wouldn't normally hear on the Daily Audio Stash. We're getting our ASCAP and BMI licenses, which means we'll be able to play commercial music as part of the beds, liners, and introductions for our show. Last week, I began giving you some previews of what Normal Show Live would sound like. We continue this week with one of our station break liners from Dan Michaels. Enjoy. And until next time, take care of each other, tokers.
Roll another one.
It's 20 after the hour, and we have to take a short break, if you know what I mean.
Just like the other one.
Please support these sponsors who support Normal Show Live.
You've been holding on to it, and I sure would like
You're listening to Normal Show Live.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
The voice of the marijuana nation.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over.